T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brewers pitching was not good for 5 weeks. Then it got really good, but the bats have kind of been cold again. Brewers win 7 in a row before falling Saturday and Sunday to the Chicago Cubs. Covering the team for Brewers.com, MLB.com, it's Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Mr. Brewers Man, how are you,
buddy? I am.
Yes, that was... That's where that began, I think, Wrigley Field. Someone called me Mr. Brewers Man.
Mr. Brewers Man.
I missed that. Someone called me Dingus at Wrigley Field once, too. That
was good. Dingus. You should hear what they call Freems.
Yeah, you ought to just go to notifications. You'll get you'll get every name called at you on notifications. You'll find out how really people hate you on Twitter. That's the best place.
Yeah.
Anytime you start feeling good about yourself, go to Twitter.
Go on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, and you get some of these, these ass clowns coming at you. With nothing better to do with their life, living in their mom's basement, of course.
Chuck's coming out hot this morning.
Well, you know,
Chuck, your update was perfect because you talked about the offense being on ice, and that was literal this weekend at Wrigley. It was terrible. I don't know if you guys were down there in the, sometimes you guys sneak down there and catch the game in the stands, right?
Yeah, I did last year. Never again. Never again in April and May. April and May, Wrigley, no.
Oh, you were right to when the schedule came out. I feel like we're always at Wrigley Field in April early, and this year it was like, oh, nice. It's not until May. We'll get like a beautiful spring series at Wrigley and Friday, Saturday day games. Maybe you'll get a nice dinner in Chicago and have a good, great weekend in Chicago. And it ended up being pretty miserable, especially the last 2 days weather-wise. It was. I'm glad. I'm usually glad I don't have to hit major league pitching, but yesterday and the day before, I was especially glad that I don't have to stand there and try to hit major league pitching.
All right, Travis Shaw was, he appeared in these games, although counsel said he was not going to play him. Where are we at with Travis Shaw? And, how long is the rope in his playing days?
I still can't answer that because it's not like there's a date that they have circled on the calendar. Council did say he was going to play him this weekend. I think the idea was, use him hopefully in all three games in a good spot off the bench. He ended up using him in that, what became a 15 inning game, and Shaw ended up having a terrible day off the bench, or 3 strikeouts, I think. By the time that game was over. There's no black and white answer to either how long you go with Travis Shaw before you keep trying something different or, what you do to help him get out of this thing. The bottom line is that this is a guy who hit 31 and 32 home runs for each of the last 2 years with, solid, other numbers, the offensive number that they like, Chuck, I know you like new stats. There's a stat, weighted runs created plus, which is a really good stat because it takes all these offensive numbers.
Hey, we're going to go to the phone. Adam, we're going to go to the phone.
You keep cutting out.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's nothing on your ear. You're doing great.
We'll get you right back here in a second.
Yeah, we're just going to go to the phone.
We'll get you right back here in a second. We talked about Travis Shaw and the numbers with Travis Shaw. Any way you slice it up, Shaw can't be hitting well. I mean, the batting average, I know sometimes you all get on me for the batting average, but, man, I don't see how he can because he's playing at third base. He's not adjusting to second base anymore. What more can you do with Shaw? Do you keep running him out there and getting outs? You put him down the seventh in the order.
Well, that's the thing, I think, Adam, is that with all the Shaw stuff, we can look into, runs created plus and stuff and whatever. I think the question is, how close is he to actually getting demoted?
Yeah, look, and what I was going to say was that I just don't know, and I don't think Craig Counsell, if you were sitting at him with a couple of beers and he was telling you the God's honest truth and not what he says in front of the cameras and microphones could tell you the answer to that, because there's not a solid day. I will say that when Jesus Aguilar got those days off on the last road trip, he came back and he's just been a lot better since then. Whatever he did during those days, whether it was just clearing his mind, whether it was working on the swing, he came back and it sort of served that purpose. So let's see if this serves the purpose for Travis Shaw. He was out yesterday. He basically had his own private batting practice yesterday at Wrigley, and was out there swinging the bat. He worked with Andy Haynes on looking at video and looking back at all the way back to Boston days, to his years with the Brewers, to try to find any cue that could give him something to tweak in the box, tweak with his swing that could create a different outcome. What I was saying before is this was a good player for you the last 2 years. This is a player who plays a good third base for you. You don't just, at the first sign of trouble, demote him and go away from him. You try to get him through it because there's value in him performing the way he's performed the last 2 years. Now he goes out to Philly, bunch of right-handed pitchers. I feel like the rest of this trip is important for Travis Shaw because they got to this point where they sat him down for a couple of days. Now he goes into favorable hitting conditions, favorable matchups. You know, this is the time to produce. And if he gets to the end of this trip and there's nothing happening, you got to try the next thing. And it feels like the next thing is, you know, playing somebody else at that position for a little while. So we'll see when they get there, if they get there, if he gets going on this trip. But it does feel, after giving him this 3-day break from the starting lineup at least, it feels like they are exhausting the various options that they have. And at some point, you know, you probably do, whether it's temporary or I would guess it's temporary, but you temporarily try someone else there.
I mean, who would it be? I mean, do they call somebody up? I mean, obviously.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, the obvious thing is you've got a third baseman playing second right now. So you move Moustakas to third base, and it opens up options for you in the middle infield where you have two pretty good players in the minor leagues. You know, Mauricio Dubon's on the 40-man. Keston Hira is not. Keston Hira is raking at AAA. Dubon's been okay at AAA. He's getting his legs back under him after missing time last year with the ACL injury. So, you know, it's probably one of those two guys, and it would be a big splashy thing if it were Keston Hira coming up. He's a guy who looks like he can really help you offensively. And because Moustakas has that flexibility, it just, you know, that's what defensive flexibility does for you, is it opens your options to a bunch of different players. And in this case, it would open it up to a guy like Hira.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan as we do Mondays at 8 o'clock. I'll ask you the question that I know I keep getting asked, and my answer has just been Miller Park. The difference between Yelich's home and road splits. I don't think that. I mean, it's certainly an interesting stat. I think it's one that over the course of the year will kind of work itself out. But it is a stat that has some people around the country coming up with conspiracies. Whether it's the Miller Park lighting I saw, or stealing signs, and all those are stupid. I shouldn't even brought them up. But how do you explain the difference there between him on the road and him at home?
Yeah, you know, it's like there have been years where the Brewers either are better at home than on the road, like record-wise or worse, and we'll grill whoever it is. It's been Yost before. It's been Ken Maka. And there's no way to answer that question. And I think I feel like it's the same with Christian Yelich. He's a really good player. He's one of the five or so best players in baseball. He's not hit on the road so far. It was 34 degrees and pouring rain, not pouring, but just drizzling rain, spitting rain for the last 2 days. Nobody hit. I wouldn't try to come up with an answer for this because I think you're just wasting time. I think it's a really good player who hasn't hit on the, it happened to not hit in road games yet. If there's some grand sign stealing conspiracy at Miller Park, they are doing a really good job of covering it up. He actually addressed that early in the year when he was hitting all those home runs. At some point, it came up in like a post-game interview, and I got to even ask him to address it, and he said definitely no, we're not stealing signs. So I don't know that that's a big surprise, that even if they were, that any player would be like, you know,
caught,
I don't
us
think anybody would stand there and say yes we are. But yeah, you know, he's an honest, nice young man. So I'm going to choose to believe him in this and just think that this is just a quirky stat that in the end we're going to look back and things are going to be where they're supposed to be. And we'll say, hey, remember in May when we wondered whether Christian Yelich couldn't hit on the road? And look what he did now.
Is Corbett Burns in the bullpen for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, that is a really interesting one because they, you know, I wrote about it again the other day that his future, they say, is as a starting pitcher, and they believe as a really good starting pitcher. Last year he came up to the pen because that's where they had the opening. This year he's in the pen because he just struggled at the start of the year, and it was interesting. Chris Hook the other day, he said maybe it was too much too soon putting him in the starting rotation to start the year. A young guy who's, you know, coming up in you know, to Major League Baseball. I thought that was a little interesting bit of introspection from Chris Hook, and people can find that in my story about Corbin Burns from the other day. He pitched well in that 15-inning game to get them to extra innings. So I think he's in. I think the foreseeable future, Chuck, is probably a perfect way to put it, because with Gio Gonzalez, with Chase Anderson pitching tonight on rehab and then coming back for whatever role it is, with Jimmy Nelson getting closer and closer, their rotation options are actually pretty good right now. So Corbin Burns is not needed in the rotation, and if he's performing well out of the pen, I think the thinking is going to be, you know, let's keep him in the pen right now. And even if his, again, they keep saying long-term, this guy's a starting pitcher and probably a really good one, you know, in time. But, you know, right now he's performing where he can just go out there, be fastball slider, and he's getting you outs and often outs spanning multiple innings out of the pen. There's value in that. And Council showed last year you can trust him in big spots in relief, not just kind of middle inning, multi inning stuff. So it's some high leverage stuff too. So I think, like you said, Chuck, foreseeable future, I would say yes.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Merola on the web, merolalaw.com. The other guy in that bullpen who seems to be getting more high leverage spots is Jeremy Jeffress, pitching a little better. Are they at the point? I keep thinking that Hader is kind of taking care of the ninth when needed, and they're going to Hader and letting him finish out games. But at some point, I think that they will establish that in the ninth inning, their go-to guy is Jeremy Jeffress. Is that the plan, or am I off on that?
I could see that being the preference eventually. Like if right now Jeremy Jeffress' trajectory is definitely heading upward, the velocity is getting better, the swings are getting worse. He's looking more and more like Jeremy Jeffress of last year. And I think if he can, you know, get to something like he was last year, and you can make him your ninth inning guy, and he can be as durable as he was for a lot of last season as your ninth inning guy, it just frees up your options with Josh Hader. If you're facing a team where the lineup makes sense, that you want him to save him for, you know, you want to use him eighth and ninth to close out a game, you can. But you don't have to. You can use them earlier in the spot where it makes more sense. And it just seems to me like when they had maximum flexibility with Josh Hader last year, when Knebel was going good and Jeffress was going good and they had other options, that's when Hader was his most effective and they maximized the matchups versus having to save him for the save opportunity, save him for the, you know, the right inning, then get him through the eighth with a manageable pitch count so he can go back out for the ninth. There's just so many more variables when you have to use them as the quote-unquote closer, and when you can control more of those variables by using them spot in the game you want, it just seems better. So that's why it's a big deal that Jeremy Jeffress is getting more and more effective, and I think eventually the idea would be to get him pitching the ninth. I actually think eventually they'd like to see someone else, you know, if Jeffress is Jeffress again, find you a guy who was like Corey Knebel in terms of effectiveness last year Now you've got two guys at the back end, and that frees you even more with how you use Josh Hader. So whether that's maybe Junior Guerra, he's been kind of stepping into that a little bit. Corbin Burns, like I said, he pitched some high leverage stuff for you last year. If you really keep him out there in the pen, maybe he becomes a kind of co-eighth, ninth inning guy with Jeremy Jeffress. Maybe you go out and pick somebody up as we get closer to the trade deadline, like a Soria last season, and now you're even freer with how you use Josh Hader. I think that is the way it looked best, and I think that's, if they had their druthers, that's the way they would do it. But kind of right now at a need, they've saved Hader for the end because he's just clearly their best guy in a bullpen that's been in some flux.
Let me ask you one more because the questions are coming in as we're talking. Is there any chance that Keston Hira is brought up within the next month?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, definitely. And look, we're still, you know, we're getting towards the end of May where, you know, there's a service time consideration where a guy, if he's brought up early and he gets enough service time in a partial season and he gets towards arbitration, where you end up paying a guy in that extra arbitration year, so it's a little technical.
Is that day the end of May? I guess I
keep... It's somewhere in the end of May. It's somewhere in the end of May, yeah. So, you know, look, that's not going to completely drive the decision. And a guy can always, you know, if he's up for a little bit and then he's back down for a few weeks, that can affect his service time. So it's not like totally cut and dried. But the point is they're getting towards the point where that date is going to be cleared and that consideration is off the table. But you know, even so, I think it's possible that he comes up. You know, look, they need offense, and if they're not getting offense on the infield, this is a way to get you some because it looks like the man can definitely swing the bat, and he's done it at every level of the minor leagues. And it looks, you know, I think there's a high degree of confidence when you talk to scouts who have seen him that he's going to do it at the major league level.
Adam McKelvey, appreciate your time. Brewers.com, MLB.com. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
See you, Adam.
All right, see you guys.
Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. We'll touch a little bit more on the Travis Shaw situation. And big news in the sport of baseball, were a possible Brewers target at the trade deadline. Just got a whole lot tougher to acquire. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.